Hi, everybody. Welcome into Sports Talk on a Friday. I'm Scott Patey, along with Matt Daniels, editor of the News Gazette Sports section, and IlinaHQ.com. We are with you till 6 o'clock. Glad to have you along. We appreciate it. We've got a full hour program here, taking you till 6. Bob Osmundson will check in with us in a little while, get the world according to him. Among other things, he is working on a story remembering the Andy Kaufman shot that beat Iowa, so we'll have some fun reminiscing with him. Also, Marcus Jackson, who, you know, used to be on this show and all that, and then decided didn't want to do that anymore, but then he's had a change of heart and he's going to call in. We'll catch up with Marcus, see what's going on in his mind and world, and you can join us as well. We have some time to take calls and your texts. Phone line 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. How you doing, Mr. Daniels?
Good. I feel like Marcus is on this show more than he was when he actually worked here at the News Gazette.
Well, I think absence makes the heart grow
fonder.
That's
true. That's true. We all miss Marcus.
You just heard in the news some of the headlines we're looking at. A little bit of maintenance has revealed an insulation panel that needs repair, and so the State Farm Center is taking some precaution and sending fans to the west side only for the women's basketball game on Sunday against Purdue. And so if you were going to be sitting on the east side, that's the side where the premium seating and all that is, you'll be on the west side, and it sounds like it's not much of an issue, but hopefully that gets corrected before the men's game on Thursday night against Wisconsin, because that would displace
that would be a lot of people. That would be a big issue if that wasn't fixed by Thursday night's 8 p.m. tip-off against Wisconsin. And Illinois, average close to 12,000 all season, so I can't imagine what that would do for the men's game on Thursday night. So let's hope they get that corrected. And, good that they're taking precautions for Sunday's game against Purdue. You never want to see anyone injured when you go attend a sporting event. And hopefully this problem will be solved very quickly.
It is not anticipated to cause any disruption to ticket holders for the men's game on Thursday. So hopefully that is indeed the case. Illinois women's gymnastics has their meet, their pink meet against Iowa tonight at Huff Hall at 7 o'clock. They'll be honoring cancer survivors and warriors during the meet. And Illinois wrestling on the road tonight against Indiana. They are home on Sunday at 1 o'clock to take on Rutgers. NBA news, LeBron James says it's nonsense that he is interested in playing for the Golden State Warriors. 33-year-old says in reports, responding to reports about him undermining his attempt to get to the Cavs' fourth straight NBA Finals. He says he's not looking into any of that. ESPN report said James would consider meeting with the NBA champions this summer when he can opt out of his contract and be a free agent. That's a few of the things. Kind of quiet across the wires today in the world of sports as everything builds up for the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Yeah, it's we run a TV radio calendar in the News Gazette Sports section, and I was filling out today's for Sunday and going through all the times, and there's a lot of college basketball and other events in the morning and early afternoon on Sunday, and then once 5 o'clock hits on Sunday night, that's the only all the focus turns to Super Bowl 52, and we'll see what happens between the Eagles and Patriots up in Minneapolis.
It's NBC gets the run at it this year. It's always fun to see what does everybody program against the Super Bowl, because as many people that are, there's still more people probably not watching the Super Bowl than are.
Yeah, probably
in total.
Averages, what, about 110, 111 million viewers?
Yeah, and the country has 330 million people, but I guess not all of them are viewing age.
Yeah, I think ESPN, I believe, has got World Series of Poker on on Sunday at the same time. Can't remember what else I saw when going through that earlier today. But
So what's on the NFL Network?
They're doing some sort of game coverage, something related to the Super Bowl.
Of the concessions?
Maybe. I'm sure they'll have it covered thoroughly and in-depth. They are the NFL Network, after all.
I was thinking about this. Because I'm a guy, I think football is obviously made for TV, and unless you have a really good seat, it's not always the best experience. I'm talking about football in general. Mm-hmm. From what you can take in terms of viewing, what would you pay for a Super Bowl ticket? I mean, if I said, hey, I got a couple seats for you,
mm-hmm.
name me your price.
Oh, man. See, I've,
and don't you know, not Matt Daniels money here. We're talking about average guy, average schmo on the street.
I'd pay maybe a couple hundred bucks, but I know
a
that
piece?
I know that wouldn't get me a ticket at all. I know they're in the $1,000 range, and
I know
in the thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. That to me, it'd be cool to maybe go to the Super Bowl one day just to, you know, experience all of that. But I'm not going to break the bank in order to go see a football game.
What if it was, who's your team?
I don't really have an NFL team.
Nothing comes close? Because you grew up in the St. Louis area.
I grew up in the St. Louis area, you know, when the Rams were kind of in their heyday, and lived in Kansas for a while as well as a kid, and was a Chiefs fan there in the early 90s. But never, I don't have like one diehard allegiance. I don't really watch the NFL that much, to be honest. Sundays are usually kind of my take a breath day and regroup for the week ahead. And
how about then, what's the team you have the strongest allegiance to? The Cardinals?
Cardinals. That's the only team, I think, that and Kansas basketball, which is blasphemy around these parts. But, you know, the Cardinals and Kansas basketball are the only two sporting teams that I've watched.
Tickets. I got two tickets for you to the Final Four with Kansas in it.
Yeah.
What would it be worth to you?
It'd be worth quite a bit. Don't know if I want to mortgage my house or, you know, set aside money that for my children's college fund someday, but it'd be worth a few thousand, I think, if it was a once in a lifetime opportunity, if I knew I could never go again,
once in a lifetime. I mean, Kansas in the Final Four, that is once in a lifetime. Yeah, right.
It's been a few.
Rarely happens.
It's been a few years since they've been there.
Yeah, a few thousand.
Their fan base.
I thought about this when the Cubs were in the World Series and once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
Hi, Bob. Bob Osmussen has wandered in.
Hey, what's up?
What would you pay for? What's your strongest allegiance is to the Braves?
Okay, yeah, Braves, definitely.
Game 7, World Series. What would you pay?
$1,000. I wouldn't even think about it, actually.
Yeah,
because it would. That hasn't happened.
What if I raised it to $1,200?
That's fine. I went to a game the first time they won the World Series. I went to a game, paid face value, set about 30 rows behind home plate. You can do that if you do it right.
Yeah,
in Minnesota, not at home.
Yeah,
it was awesome. It's worth it. Except the Braves lost a horrible game, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the going rate is for a Super Bowl ticket this year, but I'm not sure I would pay more than a few hundred dollars either.
I think it was $2,200 was what Joe found. So we've got a guy.
For like a upper level
nosebleed
seat.
But I think when you go to those places, you can always get in. If you have a big wad of cash, you can get in. And if you wait, because nobody wants to get stuck with the $2,000 ticket. See, if you wait till the end, which is what I did at the World Series, people are going to give you up the seats eventually.
Wait till the second half when the Patriots are really behind and everybody assumes it's over, like last year, I'm sure.
Or you talk your way in. Just say, hey, I'm in the media.
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah. Don't you know who I am?
I forgot my credential in the car. Could you
say Lauren might do that. I can see Lauren say, don't you know I'm Lauren Tate? And they let him in. They probably would let him in.
They probably should.
Probably give him a seat on the field.
My wife's grandfather got into Game 7 of the World Series in 1945, Cubs Excellent. And Detroit Tigers, because he was in his military uniform.
That's nice. All you do.
That's awesome.
Different time.
Well, yeah, and I don't know that that's enough to get you in these days. But
there was no StubHub then. SeatGeek, any of those.
Indeed. All right, we're off and running here on Sports Talk on this Friday. You can weigh in with anything on your mind sports related, 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357.
Join us Monday night, Buffalo Wild Wings in Savoy at 7 o'clock for the Brad Underwood Show as we look back at the Ohio State trip, look forward to the game against Wisconsin. Monday night, 7 o'clock, Buffalo Wild Wings, and right here on the radio.
It's Sports Talk here on a Friday on DWS. I'm Scott Beatty. Matt Daniels is here along with Bob Osmussen. Our producer engineer tonight is Blake Landa. Thanks for being along. Bob, this weekend we're doing a remember when kind of thing, or where are they now type of thing.
Yeah, just at the REO, so that kind of gets us there too.
Yeah, keep on rolling.
Can't hear that enough, honestly. Yeah.
So you were looking back at the shot that Andy Kaufman made in 1993 to beat Iowa. There's a few interesting things about this. I don't want to give it all away if you want to.
Let's not give it all away.
We'd have to devote the entire rest of the show and next Monday's show to give it all away, since Bob wrote a story that's going to be in three pages.
It's fairly long.
It's going to be in three pages of Sunday's.
I'll tell you why. Because I got everybody called me. Everybody called back. Deion Thomas. Jimmy Collins,
Andy Kaufman,
T.J. Wheeler. Of course, that was easy because he's here. We actually met. I talked to one
on this show.
Talked to one of the officials. Phil Bova worked the game.
Former Iowa player.
Talked to a former Iowa player. Did not talk to Don Davis, which was my intention, but didn't work out. And talked to Doug Altenberger, who called the game on the TV, Steve Kelly. And so I talked to a lot of people, Jim Shepard, who called the game at the game. So I talked to a lot of people. And when you do those kind of stories and everybody has good memories or a lot of stuff to give you, it's really easy to write a long story. And they were so good. They told me thing after thing after thing. The one tidbit I'll give you, which I did make this big deal out of that I should have, was TJ telling me that he stepped on the line. He thinks he stepped on the line while throwing that pass in. Now, I'm not sure that actually happened, but he thinks he stepped on the line. Now, today they would review that, probably get overturned, then the place would have gone nuts, or nuttier. But he thought he stepped on the line, wasn't positive, but he was pretty sure that he did.
The other thing I heard about that, I think it was Mark Tupper was tweeting about it today, is that the clock may not have actually started the pass was caught. That's not the only incident where that has ever happened.
It didn't matter because
basketball.
It did matter because when the pass was caught, that's possible. They have to give the official score a second to actually make the mental connection from mind to head to finger.
Yeah.
So
I think now it's done remotely with the officials.
Be. But there were second clocks. It had a second hand on it, which I remember, which is fairly new at that point.
Tenths of a second?
Yeah, tenths of a second. That's fairly new back then. But I think that's pretty close. It didn't matter. Randy got it off. I remember thinking at the time, boy, that was close. But it wasn't when you look at it on film, wasn't that close. Great shot.
You were at the game.
I was at the game.
What did you write about in the next day's paper?
Thank you, Matt. Didn't write about that, of course. We did things differently then than we would do now. I think now we would write 10 different angles about just that shot. Mm-hmm. But Lauren wrote the game story and the column, I'm sure, in probably in about 4 minutes. And I wrote my story about an Iowa player, a nondescript Iowa player, Wade Lickenbill. And that's kind of was my role at that point. I was doing the opponent feature, which I loved. But I didn't get into the heart of things until later on. I switched over and did more of the Illinois angle.
You didn't storm the court or anything, Bob?
No, but I was walking. I was up in the old press box was up kind of middle level. I was on my way down to the court because I was worried about postgame getting the locker room in time. So I was on my way down and I actually stopped. And for the first time ever, the ushers didn't yell at me. Didn't say, move, you got to move. Because Benny might have been there. Okay. Our friend Benny, I'm almost positive he was at the game. I'd like to hear from him if he was. And he always gave me a pass, said, Bob's okay, let me go down when I needed to. But it was really, of the games I've seen all time, it's in the top three. Certainly the Arizona game, because of what it meant, was probably a bigger game. I saw an Iowa State-Iowa game that was, it's Iowa. Iowa State Iowa game where a guy scored 54 points one time.
Yeah.
A great game, overtime game. But this game was so cool, but just because everything involved Chris Street, the Bruce Paul, who wasn't there, Jim Collins.
He's got some nice things to say about Bruce Paul.
Jimmy doesn't hold back. Dion is really, obviously, I think then he would have said some really awful things, but now he doesn't.
He's mature now.
Oh, he has, and he said, I forgive him, and he's moved on, which, again, that's more of how cool Dion is. Mm-hmm. Because if I was Dion, given the circumstances, and I covered a lot of this. I went to the NCAA when they had the hearings and all this. If it was me being accused of something that I knew I didn't do, I would have gone crazy. You would have heard a lot of really bad words.
On Twitter, the All-NHQ Twitter, he put out a photo earlier, I think yesterday, actually, the post-game press conference.
Right.
First thing you notice are some bad frames on the glasses of some of the guys wearing glasses and that. But the second thing that stuck out to me is the second row, there's a guy wearing an Illinois hat, an Illinois ball cap.
Yeah, you did the... And it was Lauren?
It does not appear.
It was not Lauren?
No, it's somebody with hair.
Okay.
So
there you go. Well, yeah.
The face is blocked out. I can't tell who it is.
That could have been somebody that got in there.
Yeah.
That was down in kind of the bowels of the assembly.
This is 25 years ago. The media still had decorum and all that,
Well, I'm sure I was in it.
You wouldn't show your homerism.
Yeah, I've looked for a picture of me. I don't think I was in that part because I was over with Iowa.
Yeah, I could see.
It was incredible.
Is it hard to believe it's been 25 years?
You'd told me a month ago, when was that game? I would have said 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I have a really strong memory of it because it was so cool. It's the loudest that place has ever been, I'm sure.
In the biggest shots in Illinois basketball history, single shots, I don't think there's an argument that Darren Williams' three-pointer to tie in the regional final is Eddie, but I think if you put
me.
That out to a poll, I think everybody would
vote
for
that. I think right
now
you would, but that's
well, it meant more.
It meant more in terms of them.
But this was number 9 Iowa.
You have Andy Coffin's shot. You have the Nick Anderson shot to beat Indiana. You have Eddie Johnson's in 79 to beat Michigan State.
Number one, Williams. Michigan State.
Yeah, and then you have Tyler Griffey's layup.
Right.
What do you?
That's last. Sorry, Tyler. I like Tyler a lot, but he knows it. He knows that fourth on the that list. But I think for
fifth,
me,
out of the five.
Right. For me personally, Andy Coffin's shot would be number one because, A, they were behind. So if Nick's shot misses, Illinois is going overtime. So that's a big deal, great shot, not as big a deal. Eddie Johnson, same thing.
Same now, thing with Tyler Griffey.
Now, I think the two that you would really think of, the tie, first and second are that game and, of course, Darren Williams, but that could have been, it wasn't at the buzzer. Was it the buzzer? No.
Darren Williams? No. It was 38 seconds
left.
Yeah,
so that's not quite the same.
Yeah.
Great game. Also, both are awesome games. Both are incredible with the way the games ended up. But I think Kaufman's shot was so dramatic and so unreal. And the shot before is even better. I've watched it about 100 times, I told you, in the last month or so. The shot that set up Kaufman's shot was this ball that bounced off
Dion
and another guy, Jim Bartles from Iowa. They both bounced off, not Dion's head.
Oh.
People said it bounced off Jim's head too, but no, bounced off Dion's shoulder. Jim Bartles' arm went up off the backboard. You couldn't make that shot if you tried
you
it a thousand
it in a
times.
Game of
you
horse
could not do
or
it.
Whatever.
You could not do it, and it was so great. And then Illinois players are just like, wow, I can't. You know, of all the way to lose the game to that team we hate, that's not the way to do it. And then you have this miracle shot. They had to put time back on the clock, so. It's an unreal game.
I think in terms of significance, you still got to rank Darren's shot and Nick Anderson's shot maybe ahead. In terms of the
not
best drama.
Not to me. I think if I was doing it, I think Darren and Mandy's shot and Darren's would be 1 and 1A, and then Nick's would be third. Because, again, Nick's game, the Nick's shot was awesome, really cool. He looked like he was shooting a 10-footer. And it was nothing but net. It was a great shot. But that game was tied. Yeah. I hope that's right. Because if it wasn't tied, no, I know it was tied. I know it was tied. I've read about this. I know it was tied because if it wasn't tied, that would have been a different deal. And again, that was a weird shot, too. That was a shot, I think, somebody has to help me.
Jay Edwards
says,
well,
behind
the
basket. Yeah, behind the basket. So that was amazing. I was not at that game, but I was definitely at the Andy game.
The collective knowledge that is in this room now between the two of you, it's
well,
amazing.
I was thinking about this the other day. My wife and I have worked at the paper more than 60 years combined. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of awful and scary.
And if you add your son in there too, Hank.
61.
There you go.
He's 61.
If you want to weigh in, 356-9397 is our number. Bob's in Champaign. Hey, Bob.
Hi. Hey, you know, maybe I'm partial because I was at the game, but Eddie Johnson shot Michigan State ends up winning the national championship that year, even though I think they lost 5 games. Magic Johnson wasn't at the buzzer because Magic Johnson had a chance to hit like a half-court shot that could have won the game, but he missed it. But still, about the only other time I've heard it that loud in the Assembly Hall was when Hulk Hogan was there for concert, and he could whip the crowd into a frenzy. But it was unbelievable, and they tried it. Pass to Johnson on the wing before, and he couldn't get the shot off, and they passed it back out, and then they passed it to Eddie Johnson again, and then he hits the shot. So it was unbelievable.
Were you at the Iowa game too?
I was not. No. Is that the Andy Kaufman shot?
Yeah.
No, saw it on TV, but wasn't at that game.
Yeah. Well, that must be, I mean, it's just before, you know, before my memory, but that must have been a neat moment to be there. Did you rush the floor or anything, or go nuts?
I was in C section, so I was nowhere close.
You rushed B section. You were hurt into the B section.
Yeah.
I don't think they rushed the floor. Maybe they rushed the court then. I'm not sure. They definitely did with Kopman because, again, that was, you were kind of scared of that game, but the fans were pleasant. They were fun.
Yeah, 356-9397. The Super Bowl this weekend, you watching?
Oh, yeah. I don't understand these people saying, I'm not watching the game. What? Come on, what's wrong with you? This is the biggest sporting event of the year. Now, we got the Olympics coming up, which is cool. I love the Olympics.
What's the first Super Bowl you remember watching, Bob?
I think it would be the Super Bowl V, which was Dallas against the Colts. Colts won the last second field goal by Jim O'Brien, by a 30-yard field goal, when the goalposts were up on the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And that's my first game. I was a Dolphins fan early, so I got the Super Bowl really early. I think three of the next 4 years they won the Super Bowl.
Luke is with us in Champaign. Hi, Luke.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. You know, I never got to see Hulk Hogan at the Assembly Hall. But I don't know if you guys remember the game with, was it Wake Forest? They were one in the country.
Yeah,
2004.
Aaron Luther's
great
group.
Game, right.
I could not hear the person next to me, and I'd never experienced that at an Assembly Hall. It literally, the crowd was so crazy, ready for that tip-off. I'd never seen a crowd to this day that was just so ready for a tip. And then Weber's guys, man, they just came out and annihilated these guys. But the crowd was just ballistic, and I mean, even going back to the final, you know, Flying a Lion, the crowds they used to bring down. But I can't even compare a crowd to that Wake Forest first probably 10 minutes of that game.
Yeah, I think the whole game.
So that was my 2 cents.
I agree with you. That game was the best crowd I've ever seen in Illinois for a sustained period of time. Because the crowd, you're right. He's right. Like an hour before the game, the crowd was in there going nuts, booing the Wake Forest guys. That was a great Wake Forest game too, and they just like you said, annihilated them.
Can't tell you the number of pictures that are hanging around town with a full panoramic of that game at tip off, and the whole place is orange. And I think Brett Dawson. We talked to Brett Dawson, who was covering him at the time here for the News Gazette. When Illinois played Wake Forest this year, remembering that, because that was the last time Illinois and Wake Forest had played, and saying what really it tips him off, and I think others that were paying attention, that this Illinois team was really good, was the fact that they beat Gonzaga, maybe it was the game before, and that was kind of, I think it was in Indianapolis, actually.
Okay.
They had beaten Gonzaga, and that was the clue that, hey, this team is really good, even though upending Wake Forest sort of cemented them into the number one spot, and people knew then, okay, Illinois is number one, but I already had the suspicion that this is a team better than even where they were ranked. And then you had Darren Williams and Chris Paul. You had the whole top guards in the country, and Illinois just beat them. I mean, it
buried
wasn't
them.
Really close.
Never a game.
At all. And I mean, there was some great, I mean, Brian Barnhart's call at the end there. They're playing big-time basketball in Champaign.
Right.
It was good. It was good stuff.
I think I did a story off the game on Wade Lookinville. No, I'm kidding. But I think I actually wrote about Illinois after the game. We kind of changed how we did things later on. And surely for that team, we wrote all about Illinois all the time. I think we probably touched on Wake Forest, but not very much.
Yeah. Well, Jim Rossler said he remembers he was in the Wake Forest locker room after that, and Chris Paul was like, this is a really good team. You know, he was sort of dumbfounded by how good Illinois was.
Yeah, oh, they were great. And you knew, again, you knew, that's the team obviously had no losses till the end of the season. Then we apparently screwed them up by putting 30-0 in the paper. And I think it was good for them to lose, actually. I don't think they beat Arizona.
Yeah, you got to understand the amount of control you have as a member of the media. I asked a question about injuries the other day to Underwood, and the glares I got from some people.
Tell him back off.
Well, not from him. He was cool with it. He played it cool. But all right, one more here on the phones, 356-9397. Carl's in Champaign. Hey, Carl.
Hello.
Hey, Carl.
What you guys have to understand was the Michigan State game
in 79 where Eddie Johnson made that shot, it was an event. I mean, even at a time when you could hardly see Big Ten basketball, WGN television brought down Jim Durham and Johnny Kerr to do the game.
Wow.
So that made it a, I mean, and there was a huge snowstorm in 79. So,
yeah.
I mean, that was a big event for everybody.
That's big thing for Eddie, too.
Were you at the game, Carl?
Yeah. No, I was watching in Waukegan on WGN TV.
Pretty cool. Were you at the Iowa game?
No.
Well, Carl is a football guy, right, Carl? Carl goes to football games. He can tell you all about Illinois beating a lot of these games in football.
Thanks, Carl.
Well, I don't remember a lot of things.
All right. Good talking to see you.
It's always good to hear.
Neither would I. Neither did any of us.
All right. Bob, thanks. You're going to watch the Super Bowl, you said.
Absolutely. What? Anybody not watching the Super Bowl, there's something wrong with them. What?
Well, are you pulling for somebody?
Oh, yeah. Patriots. Go Tom Brady. I love Tom Brady.
He's
my favorite person ever.
He's hoping he does the reverse jinx on the Patriots by publicly
TB12.
Stating that.
TB12.
He's been doing this all week.
Go, Tom.
All week in the office, Scott.
I think I'm not ashamed to say I would happily date Tom Brady.
Okay, no. That'll be a Q4 commercial here. We'll talk to Marcus Jackson when we come back and see if he would date Tom Brady or not. Okay, thanks, Bob. Enjoy your weekend. Sports talk in a moment.
Join us Monday night at 5, the News Gazette sports page at the Esquire in downtown Champaign. The guests are men's tennis coach Brad Dancer, golf coach Mike Small.
It is Sports Talk here on a Friday afternoon. Scott and Matt with you, taking you till 6 o'clock. Our old friend Marcus Jackson checking in on the phones. How you doing, Marcus?
I'm good, Scott. How are you and Matt?
Wonderful, Marcus.
I don't know if you heard, Bob Osmussen just said publicly that he would date Tom Brady.
He's been saying that all week in the office, by the way.
First of all, Matt, you sound so excited to be here with us.
No, I am. I'm just, you know, I think with Bob, his enthusiastic fake cheering of Tom Brady all week has just worn me down to this point, Marcus.
You know, I've watched Tom versus Time this week. Have you guys seen that?
I haven't seen it at all.
It's actually pretty interesting. I'm not a huge Tom Brady fan. I obviously respect what he's been able to do, but pretty neat look into a guy who's been really private throughout his career. So if you get some time, check it out.
Well, are you going to be taking in the game?
Taking in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I can't say Super Bowl. I'm just talking about the game, you know, trademark.
Are we not allowed to say that even just like during like regular conversation? We can't say that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not true, but I thought it'd be fun.
I know what you mean. The big game,
I like it when you go to the grocery store, it says make your Sunday super and with whatever they're selling underneath because they're not allowed to use the term Super Bowl.
Well, did you hear the NFL is mad this week because they did Radio Row at the Mall of America, and apparently Shake Shack is like in all the shots and everyone's talking about Shake Shack and people are going there, and the NFL is mad because Shake Shack's getting all this free advertising without paying them for it.
When is the NFL not mad?
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm sick of the NFL, but I will watch the big game on Sunday and enjoy myself. I'm excited about the halftime show, as Matt I'm sure knows.
I'm surprised. Are you? I think that's what you're probably more excited about than the actual game.
My affinity for Justin Timberlake. I got the album today. It's pretty good. The first single that he came out with just wasn't very good, but the rest of it, I've been pleasantly surprised.
JT, you can bet on how JT will enter for halftime. It might be a zip line. He might just walk in. He might parachute.
You know, I'm going to text him tonight and ask him so I can bet on that and get a leg up.
I feel like the Super Bowl is like, you know, what are you doing for the Super Bowl? It's almost like Christmas or Thanksgiving. It's like this national holiday, but you don't necessarily do it with family. And there's like pressure to like, okay, who am I going to experience the Super Bowl with?
Mm-hmm. You know, I kid you not, like 5 minutes before you guys called, I was on the phone to a buddy of mine, and I have no plans yet for the Super Bowl. And I was like, what are you doing for the game on Sunday? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, we should do something. I was like, yeah. So it's going to be very informal, but usually you go to a big party with like a dozen people, but it'll be something small.
Well, that's because you're up in Chicago now, and you're just a little fish again in a big pond. If it was here, you would have been hopping from party to party.
That's why I moved. I couldn't party like that anymore. Too much.
To humble yourself. Hey, Major League Baseball is going to put nets all the way to the end of the dugouts in time for the start of this season. And there are some people out there that are curious and don't think that should be the case. You know, you're a baseball guy. Does it matter to you where the nets are so that people don't die?
Yeah, I'm all for that. I mean, obviously, safety should trump everything when it comes to, you know, situations like this. And I know firsthand what it feels like to get hit by a baseball, whether a thrown baseball, a batted baseball, a bat. Like, I've felt it all. And here's my thing too. Like, the people who sit right behind the plate who pay the most money for the seats, they've always had a net in front of them. So why can't the people down the lines watch the game through a net as well? Now, it might take away a little bit here and there if you're getting a baseball, but you know, if the cost of it is you know, someone's well-being or even their life, then I don't think it should be a controversial issue at all that nets are going up to keep people safe.
You have young kids. Would you think about where you are, but in relation to the net?
Oh, definitely. I think now I've always in the past wanted to sit as close as possible, but now with two young kids, if I take them to a ball game, haven't done that yet. That's on the to-do list at some point in the next couple of years, but that definitely takes into consideration. I'm all for the netting being expanded as far as it needs to go, just to make sure everyone's safe. And we've seen too many times in the last couple of years, especially where foul balls just get off into the stands, and you're dealing with people getting carted off on stretchers, and that's something that you never want to see when you go to a sporting event is fans that go there expecting to watch the game and have a good time, and then suddenly you're dealing with, you know, what potentially could be a life-threatening injury. So I'm all for the netting being expanded.
I don't know if you guys caught. You still there, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm here.
I thought maybe you fell into a sewer or something.
No, I was just letting Matt wax poetic like he does.
Okay. Thanks, Marcus.
There was pop there on the line, and I just thought maybe that was it. We lost Marcus. An agent put this out today, Brody Van Wagenen, and it's making the rounds on Twitter and other ways. There are still several marquee free agents that haven't signed, and we are getting close, and several others. And this is what he put out. I would suggest that testing the will of 1,200 alpha males at the pinnacle of their profession is not a good strategy for 30 men, referring to baseball owners, who are bound by a much smaller fraternity. These 1,200 players have learned firsthand that battles are won through teamwork, and they understand that championships can't be achieved by individuals. They are won by a group united by a singular focus, victory at all costs. They are willing to sweat for it. They are willing to sacrifice it for it. They are willing to cry for it. Most importantly, they are willing to bleed for it. There is a rising tide among players for radical change. A fight is brewing, and it may begin with one, maybe two, and perhaps 1,200 willing to follow. A boycott of spring training may be a starting point if behavior doesn't change. Players don't receive their paychecks until the second week of April. Fine them? Okay. For how much? Sue them. Okay? They'll see you in court 2 years from now. At what expense? Baseball offers 4,881 dates of live content annually across 27 media markets. Franchise values at our all-time highs. Fans want to see the best players competing at the highest level. Sign them, play them, celebrate them, and then sit back and let them entertain us the way they've had for more than 100 years. Whoa. So.
Sounds like we're going to get the XLB. They're going to like start their own league with Vince McMahon.
Could this be millionaires versus billionaires part two? And I mean, just
it is. Go ahead.
But just hearing that, do your sympathies, are they triggered towards the players who are the millionaires?
I don't think I have sympathies toward either side of this. And I think this goes back to, like, there's some big name guys who haven't signed, right? They're not getting what they're asking for. And I think the owners have honestly kind of wised up a little bit. And you used to see like the Albert Pujols contract, for example, was like 10 years, $300 million, something stupid like that. And obviously on the back end of that, even on the front end of that, he's not delivering what he's so like. I think a lot of these guys, like a Dick Arrieta or Yu Darvish or whoever the guys are who are out there, are looking for like these long-term deals with exorbitant amounts of money. And the owners aren't giving into that anymore because it hasn't worked out here in the recent past where you're paying pitchers north of 32 for 7-8 years, and you know you're only going to get 3 or 4 good years out of them. So it's a power struggle, certainly, between, like you said, millionaires and billionaires, and they're going to come to their senses at some point. I mean, there's too much money on both sides of it to be made and to be had, and something will get worked out. But right now, I think it's just like a big kind of big game of chicken to see who's going to flinch first.
Going back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, Marcus, Bob's got a big, massive story. It takes up three pages in Sunday's News Gazette about Andy Kaufman's shot from 25 years ago, which will be this Sunday.
Bob wrote that much?
Yeah, he did. Much, huh? I know. It's stunning.
He always uses the big font, yes. So that's why.
you covered a memorable buzzer beater for Illinois back in 2013, almost 5 years ago against Indiana with Tyler Griffey's layup. What do you remember about that game at all?
Yeah, it was it was weird, like, going into the game, because you didn't expect a whole lot. It was Sean Gross's first year. You know, the team was terrible the year before, and Bruce Weber's last year, and they just were kind of chugging along there in the Big Ten, and all of a sudden they made a nice little comeback in that game, and that really got the ball rolling on them making it to the NCAA tournament. But as far as that game is concerned, like, it just took a turn there late where you thought maybe they're going to have a chance to do this, and you know, that play was kind of in the corner, a little bit away from me, but I remember I was right behind the team bench there, and it happened, and we were all standing up because you couldn't really see that well, so you just stood up just so you could see what was happening. And when it all happened, I think I saw myself in a slow motion replay after the fact, and I just went wow to someone, and like sat down and start typing again. I was just like watching all the reactions of everyone. I think John Gross went down to two knees, and he was really emotional. Brandon Paul got mobbed there in the corner, and I remember Tyler Griffey walking off the court with his dad, and that was kind of a cool moment too. But just the energy and the excitement and just kind of like, I don't think you realize it at the moment how big of a deal that was for them to beat the number one team in the country. Indiana was loaded that year, and it was just really cool, and they really truly did feed off that going forward. I remember the next game at Minnesota a few days later, big win for them, and I think that really got the confidence going in that team, knowing, hey, you know, we're actually pretty good, we can beat some teams, and that really, I think the Minnesota win after the Indiana win was really bigger than the Indiana win, because I think it really gave those guys confidence going forward.
Did you give the Illini a shot Sunday morning against Ohio State?
I think so. I mean, they're kind of in a similar situation where they've won a couple games here now, and they know that they can do it. They know that they're capable of doing it. And, you know, obviously going into a tough environment there at Ohio State on Sunday is going to be a difficult task for them. But I think it's maybe the next step for this group. Again, they're really young, and they're still trying to find their way, and they're learning how to get it done. But, yeah, I think it's possible for them to go in there. You know, Penn State went in there and picked up a win with a buzzer beater and an exciting game there. They just got to play well. Yeah, limit the mistakes, make some shots, and you know, see what happens.
Marcus, you keep being you. We appreciate you being with us.
What else am I supposed to do?
There's nothing else you can do.
Hey, thanks, guys. I always enjoy it.
Hey, good to hear from you. Marcus Jackson, our old friend. Hey, we got high school basketball tonight. Tim Dittman standing by out in Urbana, Oscar Adams Gymnasium. How you doing, Tim?
Doing well, guys. JV game just getting started here shortly, and it's going to be a good one in the varsity game. Obviously, Bloomington the heavy favorite, but Urbana coming off a victory over Rantoul earlier this week. They've got the home crowd, so it should be a good game.
We're asking everybody on the program now whether they would date Tom Brady. Do you have a feeling on that? Packers guy?
Well, why wouldn't you? The guy's got a gazillion dollars.
You have always been a man of pragmatism. I can't even say it. You're always practical.
Thank you.
So, hey, your guy Aaron Rodgers is talking about he'd like to stay with the Packers, but, you know, he's not closing the door to going somewhere else. You think he stays around?
I think he does. Not to say that he is unduly loyal to one team, because in this day and age, who is? But I just think it's a good fit there, and I think they've built that program around him as really the playmaker. I mean, they have some other, you know, good offensive skill players, but he's really the playmaker where you say, okay, you know, it's a drive that the Packers need to score a touchdown on in the final minutes. You know, what guy do I want in there? Well, of course you want Aaron Rodgers in there. Other quarterbacks, with the exception of maybe Tom Brady and a couple others, aren't able to give you that game-winning drive that he can. So I certainly think so, and I certainly, for my fandom, hope so, that he's going to stay there for a while.
All right, Urbana and Bloomington tonight. You'll get to see D1 prospect in Chris Payton, and they're a pretty explosive team last time I saw them.
Yeah, they got a win over Richwoods a week ago tonight, 73-52, and the aforementioned Payton flirted with a triple-double. He had 22 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists, so That'll be certainly something to watch. It'll just be a matter of can Urbana contain him.
Tim, look forward to it. Thanks for dropping by.
All right.
Tim Dittman, Evan Kahn on the call tonight for high school basketball here on DWS. We'll wrap it up in a moment.
Join us for Fighting Illini men's basketball on the road at Ohio State Sunday at 11 o'clock Central, 9:30 Illini Game Day with Scott Beatty Sunday morning.
All right, a little note here that was posted by Mike Matheny, manager for the Cardinals. He posted on his own website an apology because he was asked in an interview about winning World Series and that kind of thing, and he said he was the only one on this stage. It was with a bunch of people from the 2000s that were being honored, and saying he was the only one that didn't have a ring. And in fact, he was given a ring in the 2011 season for his role with the organization, but he wasn't managing that. He was helping catchers in the minor leagues. So he said, issued a big apology, and it was heartfelt and nice, and said he wants the thing now where you get it for, you know, being on the field when they win.
I'd be all for that to happen in 2018.
I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
I don't think it will, but I'd like for it to happen.
All right. Thanks, Bob Ospison, Marcus Jackson, Tim Dittman, Blake Landa behind the scenes. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for your texts. Thanks most of all for listening. We'll do it again. Next sports talk for us is Tuesday, but tomorrow morning, Michael and Lauren will have you for a couple of hours. And don't forget, Illinois basketball Sunday morning, 9:30, our game day coverage comes your way. 7:30 high school basketball tonight. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana News Gazette Media Station at 6 o'clock at night.